Thank you, Lord God. For those of you that may wonder, what did I just hear? It's in your Bibles, in your Baptist Bible, your Methodist Bible, your Church of God in Christ Bible, your Lutheran Bible, your King James Version Bible, your NIV Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 speaks about the various nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of which you heard two of them. One was diverse kinds of tongues, with the companion gift of the interpretation of tongues, which we understood in English. And so that's God speaking through his people to his people. It should be happening in every church in the world because God has not stopped using those gifts. And it's God's way of just kind of confirming things, really the message I'm about to minister to you on right now. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time with you and your word. And yes, Lord, we do need you. We come to you with earnest, and we cry out to you, Lord God. But we need you even more now than ever. But Jesus, we're comforted by your words, and we receive it. You told us, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. We take great comfort in those words, Lord. For you care for us, plan for us, and you take care of us. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue, if you would, to look at Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And we're going to continue our teaching on your believing the master key. Say, my believing.
My believing.
So it's your believing, meaning your believing, my believing. And it's about we individually believing God to do stuff in our lives and for our families, and not just having someone else believe for us. It's appropriate to add our faith with other people, to believe along with them. But my friend, God wants you to have faith in him as well.
That's right.
Yeah. And for your life to be effective, you know, it's interesting how there are people who don't purport to be Christians, but have strong beliefs about what they can do.
Yeah. Yes.
And yet now we become Christians and we hear scriptures that talk about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then sometimes we're scared about doing stuff.
Well, come on now.
Well.
And the difference is not, and you may wonder, well, how come he's a non-Christian? He's a whatever. He doesn't believe in Jesus. Maybe an atheist, but he believes that he can do what he sets out to do because he believes it.
Yes.
He believes or she believes it. God created every human being to accomplish anything in their life by believing.
Yes, yes.
By believing. And when it comes to tapping into the plan and purpose of God, especially supernatural power of God, we need to also believe that as well.
Amen.
Not just so you can go to college and make money and get a job and start a company, stuff like that. But more importantly, the things that pertain broadly to what God wants to get done in the lives of people requires us to believe him about those matters. And that's why I want to encourage you today, to remind you for some, others maybe inform you. But I want to talk about and actually start off with this question, and I want to answer this question for you, and I want you to answer it, really. What should you do when you're faced in your darkest hour? Think about it. What should we do when we face our darkest hour in life? You know, we're going to read about in the context of Scripture how a man named Paul, the apostle, faced multiple times, one particular, a very dark time in his life. And we may face a dark time as well. It may not, and let me explain to you. When we face these dark times, it's all relative. A person may be 17 years old and is wondering, well, will I go to college? I got to get accepted. I'm a senior graduating. Oh, it's a dark time for them. Are you following me? Or maybe it's a divorce. It's a dark time for that person. So it's relative. But I want to talk about what should we do, because we all face situations that are dark and do not work, and it's hard, and we're about to go under if we don't do something.
Amen.
And in particular, if God does not do something.
Amen. Amen.
What should we do when we're faced at a dark place in our life? Could be threat. Could be a diagnosis that we got to take the baby, then pregnant for about 2 months or 3 months, and baby may come out deformed, baby may not last, You can accept the report of the doctor or go to God.
Come on.
In fact, I just got recently a text about a lady I prayed for, brought to church by one of our members. I'm looking forward to her having an opportunity to come share. She just had a baby last, I think it was Friday. And she was unable to have, the doctor says, carry the baby full term. She just came between services because she was such pain and awkwardness that she should stay at home, but she pressed in. Say pressed in.
Pressed in.
Because she believed something. I don't recall meeting her before. I may have. They live not too far away from here. And she came to my office because she came expecting, you pray for me. I'm going to be healed.
Wow.
Now, if you're not careful, you think I'm putting myself up, but it's biblical about believing when the man of God speaks to you.
Amen.
A
That's
word.
Right. Amen.
And
right.
In fact, the lady with the issue of blood, she came and touched the hem of Jesus,
yes.
And she said in herself, if I just touch him, I'm getting
yes.
healed.
That's right.
Now, again, it's not magic. It's faith. It's believing that if I touch him. And what happened was that there was a history of people touching Jesus, and they got healed. That's why she had faith for it.
Right.
Because it wasn't like she just started up. No, that was a pattern. Say a pattern.
A pattern.
So I got a text this Friday, and she gave birth to the nice, beautiful baby. Healthy baby. And in the text, it was, I think, I forget the exact weeks, but I think maybe 13 weeks, we're going to take the baby. She said no. The baby's doing better. We're going to plan to do it and take it maybe another 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Guess what? Every time they say something, baby's doing well.
Yes, yes, yes.
The power of God.
Yes.
And we should begin. See, if you were in a dark place and didn't work out and you lost or got hurt or what have you, don't feel bad. Just this teaching is for all of us to step up and say, God, I'm going to go stronger in my faith in you. In my beliefs, and put a focus on you, so when those times come, say when those times come, I'll be able to stand strong. I'm not talking negative. Jesus says, if you stand, you build your foundation on the rock, the word of God, when the storms come. Now, he ought to know, when they come, the winds blow, you'll stand strong. But if you build your foundation on the sand, that's hearsay, that's popular sayings, that's my own ideas about how God should do things. And then when the winds blow and the storms come, which means they will come sooner or later, you won't stand. And so we want us all to stand strong. And we're not going to stand strong unless we build a strong foundation.
Amen.
And we have to build it with our core beliefs and what God has promised us.
Amen.
So I want to talk about and look at the Apostle Paul. Here we see the Apostle Paul is the man that wrote most of the New Testament. And he was a powerful man of God, preacher, at the early part of the church age. And people didn't like it. He disrupted the whole nation of Rome and threatened the authorities because they're talking about this Jesus who's king. And so they arrested him. And so he kept appealing. So finally he appealed to Caesar. So he's on his way to Rome. They put him on a boat to go to Rome. And that's where the story picks up here. And there was a storm so hard, so tough, that and the whole chapter talks about it in context, that there 14 days went by, there's no sun, they saw no sun and no stars. That's dark.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling about dealing with dark. You face dark darkness and dark days in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't know what to do. You can't see a way out. Mm-hmm. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Now, that's not meant for everybody every day of the week, but sometimes that may happen. If it does, you be ready.
Amen.
If you lay a strong foundation before that.
Amen.
And strengthen the foundation you already have. So here in Acts chapter 27 and verse 20, where it described what I just said to you. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then borrowed from us. No, taken from us. That's what it says in the King James. Taken from us. Say taken from us. Now, some translations say that they gave up hope, and that's fine. But the King James is really more accurate in line with the actual manuscripts of Hebrew and Greek. In the New Testament, it's the Greek. And it reflects the truth of the scripture where Jesus says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That means he'll come to steal your hope, too.
That's right.
and your belief, or you follow me. Well, some people don't believe in God no more. I pray for mom and dad, and they got divorced, and I don't believe in God. Well, it wasn't all about you, but also about what mom and dad believe in. Are you following? And so, but notice, all hope was taken away. That could be, I never go to college. I never finish college. Or whatever you may be facing. What do you do when you face your darkest hour? You tried it. You see no way to get around it. All you tried is not working. But have you tried God's solution? Yes. When I say that, I mean asking God. This is what Paul did. He went to God, fasting and praying, seeking God as to what to do in that unique situation. See, there's a solution for your unique situation. And whenever you're in trouble, there's always something or something you need. There's always something we need to do. Say, I need to do. This is huge. And there's always something you need to do. Sometimes he may want you to do nothing. That's doing something. But doing what? Nothing. Don't move. Don't say nothing. Just wait on God. If that's the instructions, that's what you what? Do. Or he may say, do something, do here and do that. And he's about to describe, we're going to read in a moment, how what God told through the angel to Paul exactly what to do and what he promised him. And I share that in some detail in a moment because we need details, y'all.
Amen.
We don't want this general, okay, God's going to bless me some kind of way. If he gives you instructions, he wants you to do your part.
That's right.
The Bible says we're workers together with God.
Otherwise,
we're kind of waiting for God to kind of, you click your heels, pray a little prayer. Okay, God, just run my life, do it. No, no, do something. Say, do something.
Do something.
Why is that? Because he wants you to express your faith in him.
Amen.
See, God, we read it a couple weeks ago, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God always requires something of us so we can do and express our faith in him. God says, you believe in me, have faith in me, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and respond to you. If you're just kind of waiting, God, do it. You know what? You got to do something. Say, do something.
Do something.
So when you hear God, looking to God to talk to you and give you help, listen to what he's asking you to do.
Yes.
There's always something he will ask you to what? Do. Always. In fact, a story with a prophet, he ran to this lady, and she was a widow, and she had, it was a famine in the land, and she's going to eat her last little piece of bread, and her and her son, and die. And God wanted to bless her. He said, make me some first. Do that. Say, do that.
Do that.
She could have said, I don't got that much. Preacher, you asked for my last piece. Well, make me some first. And she did that, and she had more than enough. God provided for her. The ruler of the synagogue named Jairus went to Jesus and wanted him to heal his daughter who was dying. And so what Jesus did, he said, I'll come with you. And then he had got a report while he was going to his house that his daughter was dead. It's too late. Don't bother the master. Notice in that scripture, Jesus said for him to do something. Be not afraid. Say, be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
That's doing something.
Yeah.
And then he says, only believe. Say, only believe.
Only believe.
That's doing something. Now, I want to answer your prayer, but you got to not be afraid and believe.
Right.
See, too often we want God to do stuff without us doing our part. And our part is simply obedience and faith.
Amen.
And yes, we can go from fear, just like that, into belief if we choose to. And especially when he speaks to us and you're seeking God. Say, seeking God.
Seeking God.
So you're seeking God for answers so you can trust that whatever you get. The Bible says, commit your thoughts or your ways unto the Lord and he will establish your thoughts. I learned this long ago as a young Christian. I didn't talk like this in the first service. God, you all pulling on me. God's talking to you. And the Bible says in Proverbs, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will establish your thoughts. So I have about, say, 2 or 3 job offers, let's say. I don't know which one to take. They all look nice and, you know, good jobs. Which one? I commit my works unto the Lord, and he will establish my what? Thoughts. Then once I do that, I get a thought. Pick job B. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And now I shouldn't question that because I just asked God to establish my thoughts. Are you following me?
Yes.
So by faith, the first unction I get, pick job B. God spoke to me. I pick job B. Are you following me?
Amen.
Something you need to what? Do. This is huge. But as you seek God, he will speak to you about your situation. So here it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Look at verse 22. And now I urge you to take heart. Now he heard from the angel. Now he's sharing with the captain of the ship and the other man, because they were also terrified too. If the great apostle Paul, who had multiple visions of Jesus, this is near the end of his life and his end of his ministry. This is the last part of the book of Acts. He goes to Rome and then he spends some time and he dies. So all the time he's traveling around the known world, establishing churches, writing the books of the New Testament, encouraging churches. That took place before this point we're reading now. And so it says that the angel is talking to him. And now I urge you to go to take heart or be of good courage, one translation says, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Key. In other words, the word he got from God, you're going to be all right. You're not going to die. In fact, nobody's going to die, but the ship's going to be hurt, though. This is huge. Because sometimes, what about my house, my car? You know, you'd be happy you're alive, man. Come on. You get you another car. I know it's total. And you didn't have insurance or whatever. Don't worry about that. Trust God.
Come on now.
Amen.
That's right.
But God is informing him. That's how bad the storm was.
Wow.
So he had instruction. He shared that with other people. He could have kept it to himself. Now, this is huge. Because when you have these kind of challenges and even the dark places, it's never just about you.
That's right.
Because God wanted to save all those men on that boat. This was the early part still of the church age. Probably most of those men on the boat were not Christian men. And God wanted to save them so they can hear the word and live forever with him too. But I needed to turn this around. So here Paul prays to God. God responds to him. And now he shares with these men, maybe some women on the boat too probably, I don't know, and going to Rome, and we're going to be all right. Guess what? When he said that, it was still storming. When he said that, he couldn't see no stars or moon or sun. Our beliefs should be based upon what God has promised us. What specific outcome has God showed you? Because it's that clarity that strengthens your faith. Pick job B or go to this school or do this. Without that clarity, you kind of trying stuff. Eeny, meeny, miny. You know what? God is a specific God. And he wants you to look to him and he will speak to you. When I mentioned an example about, you know, pick job B, it may not have been pick job B. It could just been I've been thinking about job B a lot. You see what I'm saying? He will establish my what? Thoughts. So I don't need to have an audible voice. I'm thinking about it because that's in line with the scriptures. Look at verse 23. And he's explaining to the people on the boat. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, be not afraid. Say, be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
Say, be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
Wow. Notice you need to do something. Now I'm explaining to you about the outcome. Share with everybody else and they be encouraged and not terrified. But guess what? You got to not be afraid.
Amen.
And you must be brought before Caesar, which was the objective. He appealed to Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. In fact, if you read the context in that chapter, there were 276 men on that boat. All 276 were saved. They didn't have the most advanced boats like we have today. I'm sure our oceans are littered with boats that sink behind storms. But this one, they got saved. Why? Well, give you some insight. Look at verse 25. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God. Say, I believe God.
I believe God.
Say it again.
I believe God.
This is huge. See, now he received it, he shared it, and then he affirms it publicly. By the way, fellas, maybe a few ladies in there too. By the way, I believe God.
Amen.
And it's still storming.
Wow.
I just got a word. You see, if your house is in foreclosure and God gives you a word, something to do, and you tell your family and your spouse or your children, and you say, I believe God, it's still in foreclosure when you said it. They're still bugging you. Get out of the house. We're going to take it. I know a man. His house went into foreclosure. He believed in God. Went down to the auction. And he didn't have no money. But he went down obeying God. God said, go down to the auction. That's what he did. Went down to the auction. And somebody, guy bid and bought his house. And he went to him and says, you bought my house. Left it at that. That was your house? Yeah. You want to buy it back? Well, you know, I can't afford it. That's my loss. He lowered the price. Well, he can afford to buy his house back.
Hallelujah.
Who does that but God? But he noticed he believed. He did something. He could have waited until they come bring with the U-Haul and all that. And you know what? What do you believe?
What do you believe?
We're talking about your believing, the key. The master key to life, even salvation.
Yes.
Even salvation.
That's right.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever shall believe in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. It all starts with what you believe.
Amen.
And guess what, my friend? Belief is a choice. It's a choice. Choose God and choose what he says. So it says in verse 25 again, therefore take heart, or some translation says, be of good courage, for I believe God, and notice the last part, that it will be just as it was told me. Talking about following God's instructions. See, this is the man who did miracles. But notice, it will be exactly what God said to me. And I want to encourage you to follow the exact instructions God gives you. He will give you clarity.
Amen.
If you read this context on your own further, you realize that was pretty clear. He kind of embellished a little bit and explained things and no loss, and yet the ship would be broken, but you'd be okay. None of the men would be lost. That's detail. Why? We have a God that's concerned about every detail of our lives.
Amen.
And he don't want you to be in the dark about nothing.
That's right.
So once he begins to respond to us, we should believe it. And be bold enough to tell folk, I believe God.
Come on.
Oh, let me talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the political correct approach, you know, violate people's own space and their companies and so forth. But you know what? They ask you a private question. You tell them, well, I believe God's going to work this thing out.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
You have a right to say that. And see, it's that kind of boldness that God, see, Paul could have said it, could have not told anyone, and God could have still protected the whole boat. Why? Because God wanted to minister to these people.
Yes.
That God was involved. They were giving up hope too. If Paul gave up hope, they gave up hope. Okay?
Yes.
And God wanted them to see a man of God who trusts me, that I will come through. Guess what? I can see him now getting off that, well, actually they swim off the boat because it kind of got stuck in the rocks. And they swim and get across. And some people couldn't swim. They took pieces from the boat and kind of held tight. And the Bible says all of them were saved. I can imagine when they got there and dried off, they said, what happened? Major storm. How'd you get out? God.
Amen.
You don't believe in God. I do now.
Amen.
That's why he wants you to seek him. Get instructions so it to work out right.
Yes.
and then you share it with other people.
Amen.
We're reading about it today. Why? It builds confidence and faith in God.
Yes.
He's the same yesterday. That means in Paul's day, and Daniel's day, and Esther's day, and Joseph's day, and Moses' day, and Mary's day, and Jesus' day, and our day. And so this is why, so what we should do is don't wait till the dark hour comes. Start reading your Bible.
That's right.
So I wonder what you believe. You want to get that settled ahead of time. And what I've learned to do, you know, I did hear it, but it was part of my nature, just how I would do life. I see it this way. I don't want to wait till I get a report from the doctor that I have about X months to live.
Amen.
I don't want to know. So I catch it what I call in the embryo stage. When it's, you know, it's just a little cough. In the name,
right.
Thank you, Father. You sent your word and healed me. By your stripes, I'm healed. I don't wait until I've been 6 weeks like that,
right.
and I'm on my back.
All right.
Where's Pastor? He's been here about 3 weeks. Well, he's been sick. I get it in the embryo stage.
Right.
When it's little, as opposed to. You see, you got to strengthen it early.
Yes.
I'm sharing with you. My wife and I, we walk in health, y'all.
Amen.
It's powerful. We're not perfect, but we apply this Bible.
Amen.
Our children are protected and blessed because of what we taught them as well. And they're all adults now.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you that you can have this wonderful life, but it requires you the Word of God and deciding to believe it specifically.
Amen.
So we'll have this young lady come and with her baby and beautiful baby share how what the doctor says. You're going to be deformed and all this and this kind of thing will happen. And no, it's a wonderful baby, healthy baby, because she believed God. Oh, yes. Now, I'm thinking about looking at next week. I'll talk about this piece and give a little heads up. What do you do when you believe God and didn't work out that way? There's a word for that, too. I'm going to share with you. What do you do when you believe God? Or you thought you believed God, but you believe in the best way you know how, praying, and it don't work out for you. Come next week.
Amen.
Because God is a good God.
Yes, He is.
But life is, in general, is you know, Satan, he's referred to as a small g, God of this world. And so he comes and steal, kill, and destroy. That's how they lost, Paul lost his faith. It was stolen from him.
Mm-hmm.
That means it was so bad, so dark. Just like give up. Are you following me? So it can happen to the best of us, y'all. Come
right.
on. It can be so bad, and on every turn you're in trouble, and you know bad news, and oh God. So what do? You go to God. You go to God, even in those desperate situations. You go to God. Say, go to God.
Go to God.
Go to God.
Yes.
I mean, that's what Moses had to do. Bask against the wall, Pharaoh's army right behind him, and all this water in front. He'd obey God and say, now what are we going to do? All right, get that rod and I put God in your hand and part the Red Sea.
All right.
I know when some people may say, well, that's just Bible stories, Pastor. Well, I believe it. I used to work for Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, NASA, as an orbit determination engineer when I was in college. And the report I got a copy of an article in one of their scientific journals, and I have it at home. It's powerful. And that what I did was what referred to as deep space navigation research. When you build a satellite, you got to figure out where it's going to be and how long you want to have it up, so you have build a certain size and can handle all the appropriate weight and so forth and fuel. So the scientists in this research study, it's an actual account, they said, well, the spacecraft ought to be here, but it's over here. And they realized the calculation, there's a day missing. Say a day missing.
A day missing.
And they said, something's wrong. It's a day missing. Just scratching their heads trying to figure out. They go by accurate mathematical formulas. And so one guy said, by the way, well, you know, I remember in Sunday school, we don't want to hear no Sunday school. What did it say? Well, I read in the Bible that Joshua told the sun to stand still. They went back to Joshua's day and calculated. And they said, oh, then he went a little closer. Oh, that only counts for most of the day, but not all of the day. About 23 hours, you know, about 22 hours, something like that. If it can't account for the whole day, that's not God. That's not the answer. Next time. Oh, wait a minute. I believe I remember another Bible study group about Hezekiah. He told the sundial to go back some degrees. Went back to Hezekiah's day. Guess what? That got counted for the whole 24 hours. NASA agreed with God. A miracle where the sun stood still a day. And God doesn't require NASA to help us. It's nice to support it. But I'm telling you, if you just believe it,
that's right.
He's a miracle-working God.
Amen.
I'll close with this. I recall Oral Roberts, who did so many miracles, ministered to people in his ministry. And one person asked the question, what if you don't believe in miracles? He paused a minute and said, well, you will when you need one. And I'm going to add my two-piece on there. I just hope you believe you'll get one. My friend, I'm not here to try to entertain you. I know it's entertainment value, we laugh and so forth. But to encourage you, life in this world is not fair, it's not just. But God is. And our faith in God will help us navigate. Doesn't mean you won't miss it, but things won't happen. But you hit the mark more often than not. You have more better days than bad days because you learn how to walk with God. One day, it'll always be a good day because we're in heaven with God, right? And now we're in this earth with his demons and the devil walking around whom he may try to devour who he can. And you know what? That's what we're dealing with. In the meantime, we can arm ourselves with the word of God and believe God, even at the darkest hour.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. Our believers are praying softly, every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, yes, Pastor, I want God in my life. I want this God that created the heavens and the earth and the universe. And scientists are still discovering the wonders of the universe that God made.
Yes.
And there's much more that they haven't discovered yet and probably never discovered. God got to tell them. But Father, we want you right now to speak to your people. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, Christians are praying softly. If you recognize, I...